Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us to seek to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus and fellow believers so that your impact can be wider for Him and for His glory. Today we begin a new series, a series on understanding the times. There's been so much pressure on me from all sorts of different people and all sorts of different leanings to talk more about current issues that we face. And so we've started a Discipleship Hour class at Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. We've started to discuss these in other areas. And I do think it's important we are like the men of Issachar. We understand our times so that we know how to live in them. And there's currently so much anger and so much fear and so much confusion. And so it's good as we begin this short little series that we start by saying that these times are times that God is aware of, and they are not unusual in terms of the history of the world. God is aware, meaning He knows. He's set the race before us that we're to run. He understands every nuance, every detail, everything that's going on, and is sovereign over all things. And so we never need to be fearful. We don't have to, in the midst of the confusion, be those who are lost in terms of where to fix our eyes. In fact, God predicted these times in the Bible, Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We live in a time where, as the Bible also talks about, good is defined as evil and evil defined as good. In fact, just this morning I was listening to a news podcast and the New York Times has an article that Canada, our beloved country, is warning visitors who are going to the U.S. that they should make sure they stay safe. It's literally a travel warning to states in the U.S. that take a biblical view of the LGBTQ issues. That is shocking, should be shocking, and it's something we need to be aware of. We do not live in Kansas anymore, I suppose. We don't live where a biblical worldview is dominant. Now, a reminder for us also that this is not new. In fact, I would even say if you look back 50 years and you remember that with fondness, or 60 or 70 or whatever it is you're remembering back to, those days were difficult for Christians as well. Much turmoil because of wars in Vietnam and other places, much chaos in terms of racism, or even if you go back far enough, slavery. Now I think we can also argue that women weren't always treated with the dignity and respect and honor that God wants as image bearers. And so we can go back and we can try to remember times that were better, but I think better, or perhaps more wise, would be that we realize that in this world we will have trouble. The Bible is very clear. Anyone who's a friend of the world is not a friend of God. And in fact, we are to be those who submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. I think the times we're in are disconcerting, where abortion is rampant and being defended right up to the time of birth, and even some talking about the fact that to kill a baby might be okay, and the fact that there's not horror over that. Euthanasia, where someone who is next to my mom in a care home is being encouraged to take their own life, or I suppose get the doctor to help them take their own life, where we're devaluing babies in the womb and trying to knock off older people who might be a drain on society. This is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. And instead of the horror of this causing us to rise up as a country, as a nation, we are apathetic at best and perhaps even encouraging at worst because of the inconvenience it might create in our own lives to stand up for this. So how do we as Christians live? How, if we want to use the great Francis Schaeffer line, how then should we live? And I think the answer is very carefully. There are a number of scriptures that talk about how we should live. And the first admonition I want us to understand is, although important to understand our times, it's important to understand that we should respond to them in a biblical manner. And that means to realize we're in a battle against the flesh, the devil, and the world. Yes. But that battle ultimately is not against flesh and blood, if you go to Ephesians 6. And it's a battle for our minds, if you go to 2 Corinthians 10. We just need to understand as we get into this that it is very important to realize that we're not fighting other humans. We're not fighting conspiracy of humans. We're fighting the demonic realm and the power of God. And this shouldn't create fear for us because we can take heart. He has overcome the world. Or understand, I love 1 John 5, verse 18, that he is so great that we need never fear the demonic as long as we are found in Christ. But there is a spiritual battle. And that's where we need to place our emphasis rather than the cultural battle that's around us. So many Christians are distorting the truth and being distracted from mission because they're engaging with the culture in the culture's manner. And in fact, some even would take the view that those in the world that join them are actually more faithful to God than Christians in the world that don't. It's a terrifying time in some ways for those seeking to be faithful to the Word of God because so many Christians are struggling. And let me say that that's the second place I want us to go in responding to those in encouragement, engagement with the culture around us. It's a spiritual battle, yes, very important to understand. But then to understand that the most important thing for us is the church, the health of the church, the fixation that Christians have in terms of staying healthy and staying focused on God. Romans 16 tells us we're to be innocent of evil and wise to good, and we're to be those who understand that judgment begins with the house of God, that we as Christians need to be living holy lives. And when we start here, it will allow us to be humble and wholly devoted to God. Humble because we see we fall short of his glory, and wholly devoted to God because we see his grace. His grace overwhelms us for people like us to be, Ephesians 2:7, trophies of grace for all eternity. So we realize there's a battle, and then we start in our own lives with a fixation on ourselves, and we say, I want to be loyal to God. I want to be loyal to his mission. Now, I just want to briefly talk about what that means. That means we're to be holy as he is holy, holy as those found in Christ, not condemned, but also pursuing a practical holiness. And again, if we're honest and our mirror is Christ and not culture, then what we will discover is we have a long ways to grow, all of us. And so we will be passionate about our own personal purity as well as set apart to do God's work. Truth, HTML is what we're going to go through. Truth, we want to be those who are word saturated, who Romans 12, 1 and 2 things, who understand that we don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world, whether that's the pattern of Fox News or CNN or the internet. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I have discovered that even in Christian circles that for a long time I have deeply respected, there's a distortion of truth to accomplish what I would call cultural valued systems. And I think that's a danger. We need to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. You don't get to him through worldly ways. You don't get healing with God or hope outside of the richness of the gospel and the greatness of Jesus. Holiness, truth, mission. Our mission is not to fix Canada. Oh, I hope and pray that this great nation will be a place where it's free to follow Jesus, where we won't experience heavy persecution because we stand firm on what the truth of God's word teaches. However, the Bible says anyone who wants to live a godly life, this is 2 Timothy 3:12, in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Our job is not to make sure that our lives are convenient or that we can coast through life and be looked after in a wonderful way. Our jobs are to live on mission for Jesus, to love the church, to support what's going on there, to be loyal to who God is and what God has done for us, and to share the richness of the gospel and the way that people can be reconciled to God. And by the way, that kind of mission, that kind of gospel orientation is the best way to transform a culture. And then we need to be known for and driven by love. Anyone who has truly been loved by God and experienced that love becomes someone who is marked so much by that love that Jesus in John 13 can refer to it as our uniform, that in 1 Peter, in the midst of persecution that is horrific, that Nero was going to bring, just about to bring to these people who were in Rome, above all, love one another deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. I've fallen in love with Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. I just think this is such a powerful text for those who are in a culture that doesn't honor Jesus. In fact, as you read the book of Hebrews, it's this development of standing firm, enduring, keep running, run, because the world is such a difficult place. Hebrews 10, we find that some are being thrown into prison and others are being rejected and abused because they're visiting those in prison. In fact, their worldly goods are being destroyed. And in Hebrews 12, we see this, the great hall of faith or the faithfulness of God in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, there's this wonderful keep on running, tools to keep on running in the midst of a culture that's in chaos. And I just strongly commend to you those verses, that we be those who see from God's perspective, that understand that eternity is in view. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those who have been faithful before us, we need to keep on running. They're cheering us on. They're in the grandstands. They want us to succeed. And in perhaps even more important, they want us to hear about the faithfulness of God in the midst of anything we go through. Those great cloud of witnesses are shouting to us, faith is worth it. Be those who understand and believe and cling to the fact that God is real and God is relevant. He's with us and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that should lead to a radical devotion to him, a living sacrifice kind of devotion that Romans 12 talks about. Or Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, there needs to be then a subtraction, a removing of weights, the good things that distract us from God, and of the sin that so easily entangles or can cause us to stumble. I would say to you that those who get angry and fight the culture as zealots, or those who are religious and reject the culture as Pharisees, are missing out on this incredible opportunity to remove the things that distract us and also repent of our sin. This should be a lifelong process, that subtraction. And then the idea of setting our eyes. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who starts it and the one who finishes it, the one who should take up all of our devotion, all of our consuming emotional energy. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And then if you go to the next verse, verse 3, we consider him who, and in other words, this setting of our eyes is more than that. It's a considering of our minds, a consuming relationship with him, all consuming, driven and defined by our relationship with him. Listen, in the midst of a world that seems to have gone mad, the solution isn't to understand everything. It's not to be angry with the world for being the world. It's not to fight every nuance and every issue. Rather, it's to see ourselves in relationship to God, to understand that we have a race he set before us to run, to passionately remove weights and sin, and to, with all of our might, fix our eyes on Jesus, fix our thoughts on Jesus, and stay there. So let me say that as you hold up the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, what you'll discover is that we live in a world that distorts the truth, distracts us from Jesus, disorients us from loving one another and the importance of the local church, and I suppose destroys. Listen, we need to be those who are truth-oriented, relationally driven, who live our lives for the glory of our King and are consumed by that passion. So we're going to do in Discipleship Hour these issues, and we're going to address them one by one. But if you're looking for us to be Pharisees and withdraw, if you're looking for us to be zealots and fight, if you're looking for us to be Sadducees and join in where we can and kind of fit into the world, be seeker friendly, if you're looking for us to be tax collectors and just be all in and succeed in this world, then you will be sadly disappointed, because what we will teach and what I believe the Bible is so clear on is we need to be those who are in the world, but not of the world. Those who are consumed by our relationship with Jesus so much that it produces a humility and a love and a tenderness and a holiness and a passion to live on mission. So as we address this, we will seek to be careful and not distort the views of other people or the views that are going on in the world, to be careful not to engage in a worldly manner, this war, but rather to engage in a spiritual manner. As Ephesians 6 or 2 Corinthians 10 tell us, we'll not only be careful, we'll be passionate about the holiness that God wants from us and has for us, passionate about the truth of God's word, passionate about living on mission for him, and passionate about loving one another. I have heard, in fact, we had in our own congregation during COVID, somebody who wanted to invite everyone to a nice community that was in Kamloops that would shut off from the world. And I'm thinking, you know, that could happen at our church. Shows me that we need to not only be aware of the issues, which can be frightening if you remove God and his word, but we need to be passionate about what the Bible is passionate about, engaging with people with a gospel mentality and the truth of God's word being more important to us than any other distortion of truth we can find online or in the mainstream media or in the non-mainstream media, I suppose, if that's what Fox is. And then we need to be aware. Be careful. Be passionate. Be aware. Be aware of what's happening to our children. Be aware of what's being taught in the media. Being aware that even in Canada, at least as New York Times reports it, we're warning not to go to states that actually are seeking to at least hint at the biblical mandate for what marriage is and what the value of life is and how to protect children from gender-altering things that are going on. It is horrifying. We shouldn't be surprised, but we should be careful and passionate and aware. And then lastly, and perhaps most importantly, and you'll hear this a lot if you come to our Discipleship Hour class, let's stay on mission. Let's stay as those who are seeking to live our lives, to run our race in such a way that in the midst of anything that happens to us in the world, we represent Jesus well. We obey the Word of God personally and passionately in such a way that we impact others. So I love 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. I want to close with this. Because remember, 1 Peter is written to this people who are living in a time that was way worse than when we live, a time when Nero was in power and a time when very soon I stood in these gardens. And then Lori and I talked about what happened there and were overwhelmed with emotion as those faithful to Jesus were lit on fire after they were falsely accused. Listen to what he said to them so that it might make us more passionate about this in our own world. I suppose we could include the abstain from worldly desires at war against your soul, which is the context. Live such good lives among those who are non-Christians that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good deeds as defined by God and glorify God on the day he returns. We have, in the midst of the darkness of this world, yes, understanding how dark it is, yes, in our Christ-centeredness, being horrified by it, an amazing opportunity to shine the light of God's love, of God's truth, of God's mission, of our holiness and reflection of him, to show the difference between those who are authentically committed to Jesus and his ways and the world. So I hope that you will join me, not only in being men of Issachar and understanding the time so we can live in them, but being men and women of Christ, knowing him, overwhelmed by his grace, and living for his glory in the world, but not of the world. Let's understand the times. Even more importantly, let's know the Savior, obey the Savior. Let's be those who see the cloud of witnesses around us who have ran before us, who take away distractions and remove sin with passion and fix our eyes on Jesus, consider him who endured the cross so that we might, in these times, which seem so dark, be a radiant light that will shine and impact eternity. We can make a difference in the power of the Spirit, in a passion for Jesus, and a living our lives in the world he has placed us. Run the race he has set before you, loyal to him.